song, Dem Bones. It's kind of a peppy little song. We know how it goes. The toe bones connected to the foot bone. The foot bones connected to the ankle bone. And the ankle bones connected to the shin bone. And all the other bones are come afterwards. That all those bones are interconnected and they depend on one another. And on it goes to the remainder of the human anatomy. Every person here today has a lot of bones in their body. Do you know that? You got a lot of bones. And there's just no bones about it. You got a lot of bones. And so we're thankful for the way God has created us. And we're thankful for how He has made us to be who He made us to be. Well, today is Pentecost Sunday. We all know that. It comes every year. And if I can get this thing to work, stay on me. There, hopefully. It's Pentecost Sunday, and churches throughout the world, Christian churches throughout the world, are celebrating the presence and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The one thing that we probably need to know, there's a lot of teaching that is going on in the past about the Holy Spirit, and there's a lot of false teaching as well. The Holy Spirit is not an influence. The Holy Spirit is a presence, is a person. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's just not some philosophy. He's not some presence. He is a person. He is a legitimate, co-equal person and part of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, you may be familiar with the story of Pentecost. We read just a few verses of it in the beginning from Acts chapter 2. It's a great story. Jesus told the disciples after He had risen and before He ascended, He told them to wait in Jerusalem. He told them to wait there until they were filled with power from on high. Now that power was not something that was going to be just a temporary thing, but it was going to be permanent. Big difference with the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit came in the Old Testament and then left. When the Holy Spirit came in the New Testament after the Pentecost event, on that great and wonderful day in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit remained. And the Holy Spirit is present even to this day. So on the day of Pentecost, which was the festival day for Jewish people, the disciples were gathered together. They were praying in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit came upon them in a powerful, significant way. A mighty wind blew through the place. Now, I don't know if it had hurricane-force winds or tornado-force winds, but it was a mighty wind. And tongues of fire, we're told, fell on each of them. And they began speaking in other languages. They began, as we would say, they began to speak in tongues. A lot of people get a little bit nervous when you start talking about tongues, especially Baptists, because they think we're going to get into some kind of a crazy holy roller type event. Well, the Holy Spirit came and revealed God to them through tongues. Every one of them who never spoke in any of these languages before began to speak in languages that were different than the language they had spoken in the past. So they began speaking in other languages, in other tongues. And later that day, we read in Acts chapter 2, Peter continues on and he preaches one of the greatest sermons ever preached. And on that day of Pentecost, Peter's great sermon, as a result of it, 3,000 people were saved, came to know Christ on that day. What an amazing thing that would be to see. And what an amazing event it was. So it is the work of the Holy Spirit that has made the difference. difference in the life of the church. It is the Holy Spirit who empowers us and has empowered us since the day of Pentecost, from that very day until now. And it is He who convicts us, as John says, of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. One of the great evangelists of the last century, Bill Bright, founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, said that if there was one message he could preach to the church, it would be a message on how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how much of a difference the filling of the Holy Spirit can make in the life of a believer, and indeed in the life of a church. My prayer is that each and every one of us would come to a new awareness and to a new appreciation, even today, of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Have you ever driven a car without oil? I have. I had an old clunker once, an old Mazda, and I was wondering why I was starting to smoke, and I was hearing bolts rattling in the engine, and I was hearing all kinds of weird things. I finally came to the conclusion, I found out the hard way, that there was no oil in the engine. And you cannot run a car that has no oil. You cannot be a believer in Jesus Christ that does not have the oil of the Holy Spirit. All through the Word of God, the word oil itself is likened to the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit living in us is like oil to a vehicle. And you just can't live without it. In the book of Romans, it says that he who has the Spirit has Christ. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So you cannot be a believer in Jesus Christ unless you have the Holy Spirit living within you. He is there to represent Jesus Christ in this world. We don't have the person of Jesus, the physical form and physical person of Jesus, but we have His representative. We have the Holy Spirit living in the hearts of all who believe. So, it's the same way for the Christian life, for the, you know, when it comes to the oil of the Holy Spirit. We need it in our lives. Some of you have been walking in the Spirit for many years. Some of you have invited Christ into your life when you were a young person. And we praise God for that. For others, the idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit may be a new concept, because this is something that worries you a little bit. And you wonder what's going to happen if you start talking about things like the filling of the Holy Spirit and what that means. Because maybe you're a little bit fearful that you're going to start speaking in tongues, and that there's going to be miracles happening, and there's going to be all kinds of weird phenomena happening. Well, I want to suggest to you this morning that it's a very simple thing. Filling of the Holy Spirit is something that's very simple. The fact is that we need the Holy Spirit in our lives day by day. We need the filling of the Holy Spirit day by day. We need to ask God to fill us with His Spirit day by day by day. Otherwise, we will have a very difficult time. In fact, it will be impossible to walk in victory without the Holy Spirit in our hearts and our lives. So I want us to look at this passage of Scripture in Ezekiel just for a few moments this morning. It teaches us in plain detail what the Holy Spirit can do for us, how we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, how we can have a Spirit-filled life, and how we can walk in the Holy Spirit day by day by day. You wonder why so many people have trouble when it comes to living defeatist lives. Lives where you feel defeated and you just don't have the power of God within you. Well, maybe God has something to say to you today about that. Well, the first thing I want us to notice is this, and that is what the Holy Spirit can do for you. What the Holy Spirit can do for you. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it will benefit you in three distinct ways. It's important to latch a hold of these and to hide them in your heart and to walk with them and to have the knowledge of these every day. Number one, it is that He revitalizes your life. He revitalizes your life. The Holy Spirit revitalizes. And here we read in verse 5 of Ezekiel 37, exactly what Ezekiel experienced. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you, and will cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. See, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you come to life. You come alive. You become a new person. You're a new creature. Verse 14 says, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. You'll never be able to live without the Spirit of God living in you. That's what the Scriptures teach us. It teaches us that in the Old Testament. Teaches us that in the New Testament as well. So that's what the Holy Spirit does for you. He revitalizes you. He takes you from the point of merely surviving to the point of truly living. There are some people that they're just hanging on. And they're just kind of getting by. That's not God's plan. God's plan is that you thrive. God's plan is that you live in victory. God's plan is that you not be status quo or mediocre. God's plan is that you live in the fullness and the power of God's Spirit every single day. So easy when good things come, and when life is going good, you know, we're just kind of going along for the ride. But when hard times come, we kind of crumble. And, you know, we wonder, is God up there? Lord, are you there? And we kind of just say, Lord, make yourself real to me. You see, when we live in the power of the Holy Spirit, He gives us the strength. He gives us the power to do amazing things and to live in an amazing way that glorifies Him. You see, He changes your life from mono to stereo. This is what someone said. From VHS to DVD. From DOS to Windows 10. From a moped to a Mercedes. That's what He does when we ask Him for the filling of His Spirit. He infuses you with freshness. He makes you alive. And He grants you newness. Newness of perspective. Newness of attitude. Newness of joy. And I believe we all need that. Every church needs that. Every believer needs the infusion of God's Spirit. So He revitalizes your life. The second thing He does is that the Holy Spirit renews your hope. In verses 11 and 12 of Ezekiel 37, it says, Then He said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We're cut off. And then in verse number 12, it says, Therefore prophesy and say to them, This is what the Sovereign Lord says, O my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. Amazing what God will do. He renews our hope. He renews the hopes of the people of Israel. He gave them a new day. He gave them a new perspective. He gave them a clean slate, if you will. And He gave them the hope for the future. So what's He doing? He's renewing our hope. And this is a day when all of us are looking for that hope. There are people around us looking and seeking for hope. The world will never know that hope until they see that hope in us, in you or I, as a believer in Jesus Christ. That hope has to be there in order for it to shine forth. So there have been times when you felt like the people of Israel did. Have there been times when you've said, my bones are dried up and my hope is gone? Have you ever said that?
Yeah.
All my bones are dried up. I got very dry bones. And many churches today have very dry bones. Many Christians have dry bones. And the Holy Spirit is able to take those bones and give them flesh, give them hope, give them perspective. I think we've all kind of been a little bit down in the dumps during this COVID experience that we've gone through. And we've all been discouraged in what we've seen, what we've heard about. And there has been a sense, even among God's people, where we've sensed that, you know, maybe we just don't have much hope anymore. Well, I'm here to tell you that we do have hope. And if the Holy Spirit lives in you, you have hope. You have a renewed hope. And you have not just dry bones from going from one valley to the other, but you have bones that are alive because of Christ and because of what He's done. The presence of the Holy Spirit changes your perspective on life. And one of the best benefits of the Spirit-filled life is the absence of despair. I see so many people discouraged, but I also see many people having their hope renewed by the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says that the Holy Spirit is given to us, look at this in verse 14, as a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. So God has given us His Holy Spirit as a deposit, if you will. As a deposit on a loan, if you will. Guaranteeing our inheritance. Guaranteeing that we're going to be someday in the very presence of God. He's saying that the presence of the Holy Spirit guarantees that you'll get through this life. That you will make it. No matter how dark it may seem. No matter how dry and parched you may feel on the inside, no matter how desperate things may be, the Holy Spirit will keep your hope alive. The Holy Spirit will make your hope alive. A wonderful benefit of the Spirit-filled life is the absence of despair. And then the third thing is that He restores our dreams. Bet you didn't think we had dreams. Well, God's people have dreams. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 14, it says, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. I love that. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land, wherever that might be. The people of Israel had a dream of living in their own land. It was called the Promised Land. That was their hope. And when these words were spoken to Ezekiel, they had been living in exile. They had been living where there was no milk and honey. God was saying to them, do you remember that dream I gave you? Do you remember that vision I gave you? The one about living in your own land? It's coming. Don't give up. Don't trade it off for anything else. He says, I will restore your dreams, and I will restore that hope that's coming for you. The fact is, the principle that comes out of this is this, that if you're not walking in victory, you're living in exile. If you're not walking in the victory of the Holy Spirit, you're living in exile. You're estranged from the grace of God. If you're not experiencing power over sin, you're living in exile. If you're not filled with joy, if you're not filled with peace and love, you're living in exile. God didn't create us to live in exile. God created us so that we might have the abundant life. This is what Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. He created us to experience the benefits of our heavenly citizenship here on earth. God wants us to experience heaven on earth. Now we look around, we say, how in the world could that ever happen in the kind of world we live in now? God wants us to experience heaven on earth every day. And it's through the empowerment and through the filling of the Holy Spirit that this is given to us. In Him we experience life as it should be lived. And that's what the Holy Spirit can do for you. He revitalizes you. He can renew your hope. He can restore your dreams. And He can give you a life as it should be lived. Now some of you were saying, I want that. I really want that. I want to go from the valley of dry bones to the valley of life. I want to go from despair through to victory. How do I get there? How do I experience this difference in my life? Well, let's take a look at that right now. And that is, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How do we be filled with the Holy Spirit? We know how to be emptied by the Holy Spirit. We know how to empty ourselves. And that is to pay attention to the things of this world. To let all the sadness and all the heartache get us down. And to get us discouraged through all the situations and all the circumstances in life that we face. But how do we get what God wants for us? How do we be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, let's pause for a moment to split a theological hair. Sometimes we use the term receiving the Holy Spirit in a way that's synonymous with being filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, receiving the Holy Spirit comes at the time of the new birth. It comes the moment you receive Christ into your life. Some call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there are those who would say that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of the fact that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, is the speaking in tongues. And so there would be those who would say that you cannot be baptized in the Spirit without speaking in tongues. Now I know that not all of us have spoken in tongues. And I don't believe that that is necessarily for today. I do believe that if it's a gift that God gives you, then that's a good thing. That's something that's your own private prayer life. It's not something to be flaunted. It's not something to be, to promote. It's what God gives you for the time. And it is a blessing. If God has given you the gift of speaking in tongues, just remember a couple of things. Number one, that it is the least of all these gifts. It is the most important one is what? Love. The gift of speaking in tongues is the least of all the gifts. If God were to give me that gift, I would rejoice in it. And I know many people who are true, devout believers in Jesus Christ who have been given the gift of tongues. But they don't go out and parade it. They don't go out and flaunt it. They believe that it's God's special gift just between them and God. And it is something very precious to them. So, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is really about becoming a believer. When you come to Christ, you are baptized in the Spirit. You become a new creature in Christ. You become one of God's children through the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. And we need to be reminded that if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So how do we experience the fullness of the Spirit? Number one is that you ask for it. It's very simple. You just ask for it. In fact, asking may not be a strong enough term. A better term might be to speak it or claim it. And so I ask God to fill me with His Holy Spirit, and I claim it. I just don't ask for it, I claim it. Because God says, this is something that's already yours. All you need to do is ask for it. So, we need to claim it. In verse 4, Ezekiel 37, it says, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. Breath will enter you, and you'll come to life when you ask for it. When you ask Christ into your life, He came into your life. The Holy Spirit came into your life. The filling of the Spirit needs to be a day-by-day experience. We need to ask daily, God, fill me with your Spirit. Empty me of myself, of all the jealousy, of all the pride, of all the hatred, of all the things of this world. Empty me of self and fill me, Lord, with you, so that I might be filled full of your Spirit. I might be full of your goodness, your grace. So we need to ask for it. The fullness of the Spirit is God's promise to all of us. He's not a respecter of person here. Every single one of us are eligible to be filled with the Spirit. Every single one of us. Every single one of us who claim the name of Christ can be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if a light bulb has come on in hearing that or not, but I pray it has, because this is something we need to do every single day. When we pray that God would fill us with His Spirit, what do you have? You have a lot of energy, great energy. You have a lot of blessing. You've got a lot of joy. You've got a lot of peace. You've got a lot of forgiveness. You've got a lot of just boldness in sharing the goodness of God in our midst and around us in our community. There are times when I have to speak to myself the same way that Ezekiel spoke to the bones in the valley. I have to say, self, hear the word of the Lord. So many times our minds are gone in the wrong direction. And I have to say, I have to remind myself, Lord, I need to hear from you. I need to hear your word. The Spirit of God is upon me. The Spirit of God is going to bring life into you. So I need to receive it. I need to stop feeling sorry for myself. I need to put aside the things of this world. I need to stop thinking only in ways that are self-promoting. And ask God to fill me with His Spirit. I need to stop courting despair. And I need to stop courting discouragement. And I need to let God be God. And let God do His work. That's what I need to do. In the book of Ephesians, Paul commands us, be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Before that, he says this, don't get drunk on wine. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he says, he goes on to the rest of the book in Ephesians, that these are the results of being filled with the Spirit. These are the results of good parenting skills, of godly mothers, godly fathers, godly employees, people who are sold out for the cause of Jesus Christ. That's the results. That is the evidence right there. And let me tell you that those kinds of bits of evidence and resemblances of God's work can be more potent and more powerful any day than the whole idea of speaking in an unknown language. The fact that he expresses it this way is an imperative command telling us to be filled with the Spirit. Actually, we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. We're commanded. It is an act of obedience on our part. It's something you do. It's something you initiate by asking for it. Step one is that simple. Step two is also simple. Not just ask for it, but accept it. Another way to say it is receive it. That's what Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 20, verse 22. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So we are to accept it. And I know time is moving on here. And the third thing is act on it. Imagine if your banker called you and said, well, someone has just deposited $1 million in your bank account. It's there. And it's all yours. All you need to do is spend it. I think you'd be pretty excited about that. I know I would be. And so we'd have to act on that, because the money is already there. The deposit has already been made by the Holy Spirit living in our lives. All we need to do is act on it and bring it to fruition as God has called us to. So this is what God says. And then the final thing I want to talk about is about walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. And this is what Paul says, and he says it in Galatians 5, verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. I like that phrase. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. If we're to be in step with the Spirit, God will reveal how to help us spend that $1 million. If we're in step with the Spirit, God will help us to find out how we're going to spend the money that God has so wonderfully blessed this church with. If we're in step with the Spirit, if we're not in step with the Spirit, it will not be in God's will and will not be in His timing, and God will not bless if we're not in step with His Spirit. So, those are important things for us to remember. Walking in the Spirit is an all-day, everyday experience. It's the key to a dynamic relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's the key to victory. But let me just conclude with this. God's promise in Ezekiel, verse number 14. This is what He says, I will pour My Spirit in you, and you will live. That is the blessing of Pentecost. That God would pour His Spirit in the likes of me, in such a sinful, depraved individual as myself, who was saved by the grace of God. That He would do that for me, that He would do that for you, is beyond our human ability to understand. Anything less is just existing. Anything less is just black and white TV. God wants to fill your life with living color. And He wants to fill you with His Spirit. Let me ask you this morning. Have you asked God recently to fill you with His Spirit? Have you asked God to empower you with His perfect plan for your life? Have you asked God to empower you, to give you victory over sin, to give you victory over the things that come your way? I want to lead you in a prayer this morning. And I'm going to pray that God would speak to your heart today. And that you would ask Him, and you would call upon Him today. And it's an action of faith. It's nothing less, it's nothing more. But it's an action of faith that you would call, and I would call upon Him to fill us with His Spirit. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that this very moment You would speak to our hearts about spiritual breathing, that we, O God, would call out to You to be filled with Your Spirit. And so I pray for every person in this room now, knowing that to be filled with the Spirit ought to be a daily exercise, ought to be a daily discipline. I pray, Heavenly Father, that each and every one of us would call out to You to be filled with Your Spirit. Empty us, Lord, of ourselves. Like John, oh God, that I would decrease so that He would increase. That's our prayer today, Father. Now, let me just give you a moment of silent prayer. Allow for silent prayer. And just individually, every single one of you here this morning, if you could just, in faith, call out to the Lord and ask Him this very moment to fill you, fill each one, fill me with His Spirit, His Holy Spirit. In the strong and mighty and powerful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. We're going to close the final hymn this morning. Number 94 in your hymnal. Words will be on the screen.